Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Time for another classic 670 flashback.
He is Matt Miller on Sports Radio 670 The Score. So, we thought it was going to be Chris Ballard, Matt, but apparently in came Ryan Pace, and he was just so damn good in the interview. They said, we got to hire this guy, and they did. What do you think?
I don't like it. I really don't. Gosh, I would have hired Chris Ballard. And I know that saying that in Chicago is like saying, that I would rehire Lovie Smith or something. But I look at this from an outsider's perspective, which is why I think you guys have me on, because I'm not a Chicago guy.
Right.
I look at things, without the emotion of being in the city. And Chris Ballard was a slam dunk. I can't believe that they announced a hire that wasn't him.
With the second pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Mitchell Trubisky.
Whoa!
Quarterback, North Carolina.
Hello?
Yeah, we wish we would have listened to him. Matt Miller, NFL draft scout on Twitter. You know who he is. Longtime Score contributor. Big man over at ESPN now. Joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sportsbook. He wanted Ballard. They hired Pace. He was all in on Matt Nagy. Bears fans didn't love that one so much, Matt. But I know you like Ryan Poles. Thank you very much for the time. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, doing well. Appreciate you guys having me on. I'm glad that, we get to talk about this today, because as soon as the Poles hire got announced, I was excited. I tweeted about it, kind of thought the Bears did the right thing. And the reasons I was excited, and I get Bears fans being like, but you said this about Matt Nagy. And they're right. They're right. I did say this about Matt Nagy. And I've in the morning with Dan and Layla, I've said before, we all thought that Nagy would bring what they do in Kansas City to Chicago. And he didn't. I think some of that is, he was a little bit handcuffed by the personnel, a little bit handcuffed by the general manager. And I'll say this before we jump into it, Danny. Hiring a general manager is a lot different than hiring a head coach. Ryan Poles will be tasked with setting the standard and the temperature for the entire franchise, the entire organization. So the move he makes at head coach, the move he makes at offensive coordinator will be incredibly important. But I think as a Bears fan today, you should be very excited with the person they got to run the team.
So tell us about that person.
Yeah, I've written a lot about Ryan Poles over the last 2 years. Last year he was a finalist for the Carolina Panthers job. He was a finalist for the New York Giants job this year. He's incredibly experienced. And I think one of the things that I love about him is he's a young person, 36 years old, who has a playing background. He was a standout offensive guard at Boston College when Matt Ryan was there. He was actually kind of played for the Bears, had a cup of coffee with the Bears, at least during the preseason. But then he goes into front offices and works, under Scott Pioli. So he's got a little bit of the Patriot system in there. But then he goes with Pioli to Kansas City. When Pioli gets fired, he actually stays under John Dorsey. So you get a little bit of the Ron Wolf system in there. Well, then when Dorsey goes, he gets fired, he stays under Andy Reid and Brett Veach. So you get a little bit of their style of system in there. So what impresses me is that Poles has that background of he's not just a Patriots guy. He's not just a Ron Wolf guy. He's not just an Andy Reid guy. He's able to blend all those different philosophies together in order to not just to evaluate a player, but to how to build a team and what type of culture you want to set within your locker room and what type of men you're going to go after as the players for your team. And I think that's what makes him you know, really interesting, and I'm excited to see exactly what he will bring to the table. I know being connected to those organizations, also being represented by Trace Armstrong, he's going to have a lot of connections to where he can build a really good staff, which something we talk about all the time. Oh, you hire this guy, you hire that guy. Okay, what are they bringing with them? Because just the head coach or just the general manager doesn't really matter. It's what are you going to have underneath you? Like we've seen with Chris Ballard having someone like Ed Dodds under him in Indianapolis. It's incredibly valuable. So I think that's the other exciting factor about a Ryan Poles hire is the type of front office he's going to build is the type of front office where his lieutenants are going to be sought after for head jobs very soon.
This is very useful stuff from Matt Miller at NFL Draft Scout. You answered what was going to be my question because the Nagy comparison is weird. One's a coach, one's a GM, but Nagy clearly was a one-trick pony trying to do his Andy Reid offensive impression and did not show the adaptability. You talked about the many different styles that Ryan Poles has already learned under and hopefully will bring in. Assuming he's the boss at the very top of the football organizational chart, what then does he need? You knowing how front offices function as you've dealt with them, if he's the talent guy, does he need a college scouting guy? Does he need a cap guy? Like, what are the lieutenants that he needs to the best of your knowledge?
Yeah, I think, you know, like you said, to the best of my knowledge without, you know, being able to completely be in there with them on the daily, I think he's going to bring your college scouting and even pro scouting because he has them both for Kansas City. So he's going to be, you know, your team architect. I think in Kansas City, they have a very underrated person by the name of Brant Tillis, who is their salary cap guru. You know, it's not Andy Reid and Brett Veach making that salary cap work. It's Brant Tillis. So I think that's something that Poles will look for to find his version of that, of someone who understands the cap, who can get creative with the manipulation of it. That's something Kansas City has actually done very well. If you guys remember, like, was it two summers ago? They had like $112 under the cap, and they signed Chris Jones and Patrick Mahomes to extensions. So you need that guy, right? You need to find that person. And it might be someone that is, you know, in that group with Kansas City that comes with him. I'm not familiar with who that person would be. But I will say this, that is a very deep front office in terms of the scouting side of things, whether it's someone like Greg Castillo or Ryan Nutt, who might come under Ryan Poles as, you know, kind of his second in command, what he's been for Beach for so long. So he'll definitely, I think, need more of the business side operations. And I would even think when hiring the head coach, I know a lot of people have said Jim Caldwell's there today. It might be Jim Caldwell, or it might be Brian Flores. It might be Dan Quinn. I think the one thing that those guys have in common, and I think they're all viable candidates, the one thing they have in common is they've been head coaches before. And that's something I've heard a lot today from people is, okay, you have a first-time kind of younger general manager. You're probably going to want a head coach with some experience to tie him to. And I definitely think that's something that we could see happen.
Well, that's interesting. But before we get to the head coach component of it, let's stay in the front office because it's super useful. Does he have the kind of personality that it's going to take to delegate and lead in that way? Because that's the stuff that we don't know, Matt, is like, can, you know, now here you are elevated. Now you got to tell the cap guy what to do. You got to tell tell this business side guy what to do. You got to make sure that you don't overload your own plate. What can you tell us about his personality in terms of that kind of role?
No, I think being a former player really helps in that regard. You've been in those situations. You've also, you know, been in leadership roles. I would say this, in my experiences with Ryan, he is a quiet, confident person. And I think that's important. He's not going to be the guy that's, oh my God, look at me. It's not that kind of personality, but he definitely carries himself in a very confident manner. And I think he's, you know, risen through the ranks under multiple different general managers, which people do not do. The turnover in the NFL is crazy. So the fact that he's risen from Pioli to Dorsey to now speaks a lot about his ability to work with others, his ability to, you know, lead, his confidence, and, you know, his ability as an evaluator. So I think those are all positives where, you know, he isn't someone that's going to come in and just be like, okay, I'm on the road scouting. You guys take care of this. And I've known general managers who were like that. They basically said, my job, I was hired to evaluate players and draft players. I'm going to do that. Someone else is doing everything else. He's not going to be that type of person. I think the people he's learned under and come up under are have been too influential to be a, you know, half in, half out type of guy.
You know, it's very interesting. We're talking to Matt Miller here on the Parkinson Spiegel Show about Ryan Poles, the Bears' new general manager. You talk about him having experience, and it is true, right? Three different Brett Veach, Scott Pioli, John Dorsey. But there is, you know, Mike Borgonzi is their director of football operations. Tim Terry is there. It's a pretty big front office in Kansas City. So you called him Brett Veach's number two. Is that definitive? Like, because there's a lot of people there who I could see saying, well, I had a role in this or I had a role in this. Like, it's, I don't know how to parse what he actually did and contributed in Kansas City.
Yeah, I think that's normal in any front office. And I think we could say, oh, this guy was the number two or that guy was. And there's, in all reality, there's probably not just one, you know, one right-hand guy. It was that way when Dorsey left. It was, okay, how much credit does Veach get for being the guy who loved Mahomes first? Well, he didn't make the pick. John Dorsey did. So who gets credit for it? Well, Brett Veach is still the general manager. John Dorsey isn't. So I think we can rightly assume probably who had the, you know, more influence in that decision. So I do think with polls, from what I understand, you know, being in the area and knowing several people who work there, is that, you know, especially with this offensive line makeover that the Chiefs did, you have a former college offensive lineman who was a very good college offensive lineman who understands that position, knows what to look for. And to get Creed Humphrey in the second round, to get Trey Smith in the sixth, those are pretty damn good picks, no matter who was making the decision or who was the right-hand man or who was the number two. So I think, you know, having the reputation as, you know, kind of the architect of what they've put together on the offensive line is a nice reputation to have right now with how well that group came together. And you also don't want to take anything away from Brett Veach, who, you know, wasn't that long ago. Danny, I don't know how much you pay attention to Kansas City now that you're in Chicago, but it wasn't that long ago people wanted to fire Brett Veach. And now you look at this team and say, oh, they're in another AFC Championship game. They have a chance to go to another Super Bowl. And so much of it has been a team that has successfully reloaded every offseason, it feels like.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy that this is the first front office person to be poached from there since they drafted Pat Mahomes and have won a Super Bowl. Normally, there's a lot more front office turnover, so I'm certainly hoping that maybe Ryan Poles brings one or two of those people with him to Chicago. Let's talk coaching, because, you know, you mentioned what you're hearing, and we're reading the same thing, and we know who the finalists are. It's Matt Eberflus, Dan Quinn, Jim Caldwell, as of right now. But what happened in Chicago when it was Ryan Pace was young general manager and arranged marriage with experienced coach in John Fox. I understand that Ryan Poles is different than Ryan Pace, but we've just gone through that exact thought process before. In terms of, I mean, maybe you have insight into who it would be, but is there an experienced coach on that list that you think, based on what you know about Ryan Poles' football philosophy, that he might be more attracted to than others?
Well, I will say this. I don't think that Ryan would have taken this job when he was also a finalist with the Vikings if it was going to be a situation where they said, hey, you have to hire this head coach. I just don't think he would have done it. I mean, the situation in Kansas City is really great. It's not one that he was desperate to run away from my understanding of things. Like, they have a chance to win another Super Bowl ring, right? So it's not like you're in a situation where, you know, the house is on fire like New Orleans and you got to get out of there. So I don't think he would have taken a job if it wasn't the right fit from an ownership standpoint, from a, you know, how much control he was going to have. And the fact that his hiring is coming before that of a head coach, I think speaks to that. So, I think what's weird with the right coach, like, who do you need someone who, you know, can set the tone in terms of energy, and you need someone who's probably young enough to do that. And that would, in my mind, kind of eliminate Jim Caldwell, but I have so much respect for Jim. And I think he would be very good for Justin Fields. I think he'd be very good for that offense. That I don't want to eliminate him necessarily, but I look at this and I've thought for a while that Poles and Flores might be guys that get connected, you know, kind of become a relationship throughout this process. We see that happen often. There's obviously some connections there because of the New England stuff, but I don't.
And because of Boston College.
Right, and Boston College, that's right. So there's not that one guy where I'm like, okay, these two are going together, boom, boom, done. I think I could see him working with all of those guys. You know, even with Matt Eberflus, there's the connection to Chris Ballard, who Ryan was with in Kansas City. So there's a ton of connections to all those people that I think make a lot of sense.
With Brian Flores, what have you heard, Matt? Because it's a fascinating guy, and it's made us kind of struggle with the idea, frankly, of like how it would work, because it's got to be a good relationship. It's got to be collaborative, and things obviously went kind of volatile there in Miami. Is Brian Flores ready for that second opportunity where he's learned a little bit from how things blew up? Or is he still focused on wanting control over a GM and control over a situation, in which case it's a little fearsome to put him with a young guy like Ryan Poles?
I think with that, there's two sides to every story, right? And none of us were there. It's usually just the story that gets the most traction, whether it's a slow news day and Pro Football Talk picks it up or what. I don't know what happened there. I know that Brian Flores was kind of in league circles. People said, he's the reason they drafted Tua, and then he didn't like Tua, and maybe that's the reason that he was on the way out. But they sure did love him when they won 10 games, you know, the year before, and when they thought that he was going to be the reason they got Deshaun Watson, everyone still loved him. So I would think that if there's truth to those rumors that Flores was too hard on Tua and, you know, disrespectful in some of the ways that he communicated with him, or, you know, he is someone that wants more control, I would think that's something that would have to be fleshed out before you could. That's a conversation you have to have. You know, it's like, hey, I may be interested in you as the head coach of the Chicago Bears, but that situation won't work for me. And I think one thing about the NFL is there's only 32 of those general manager jobs. You know, really there's only like 30 when you actually break it down. So it's a very, very small world, right? So you can say, okay, well, what did happen there? You know, you could talk to Chris Greer, who has connections to New England, obviously, and say, hey, like, what is going on down here? What was the reason that he was pushed out? So I think it's a small enough community that you can actually find out behind closed doors what really is going on. And if that's true about Brian Flores, then I don't think that he would be a candidate, because you don't want someone who's going to immediately come in and undermine you as the head coach, or excuse me, as the general manager.
Do you have any idea or best guesses based on his football philosophy what he might think of Justin Fields?
I don't know off the top of my head. That's a question I would love to get the chance to ask him is, hey, what was your evaluation of Fields last year? You know, who is your QB1 or who is your QB2 after Trevor Lawrence? I think that would be a very interesting question to ask. I don't know. I know very few people who didn't love Justin Fields. And even I know I wrote a piece maybe a month and a half ago, and it was kind of re-ranking those rookie quarterbacks. And everyone I talked to still believed that they would take Justin Fields second out of that group of five. It is basically where the consensus came down because of the tools. And I think a lot of people look at that situation with, you know, no wide receivers, a banged up offensive line, David Montgomery's banged up, and a head coach that really everyone knew he was on the way out the door. So I think that you take that job being excited about the fact that you have Justin Fields and knowing that you don't have a first round pick in 2022. But you still take the job because you believe you have a quarterback you can build around. And it's why I thought the Chicago job was actually the most attractive of any of the openings. Because, you know, with the Broncos, you got a good roster, but the team's going to be for sale. You know, with Miami, you got it South Beach, but you also, you know, you're not picking until San Francisco's pick, which is going to be pretty damn late now. And you've got an offensive line that needs completely fixed. You got a quarterback you're not sure of. So I felt like Chicago was the best opening for a general manager because you were going to get to not only build your team, but pick your head coach. And that's really important.
Might be a defensive head coach, a leader type. And if so, we'll all be wondering what kind of offensive coordinator will be there. What would you do systemically for Justin Fields? We're ready to not see him have tackles alone on the edges. Little chip helper, Max Protect might be nice, but what would you do systemically to set him up here in year number two?
Yeah, well, I think it starts with Darnell Mooney was a good player, but you got to have more than that, right? And I think that's one thing that Poles will likely bring with him from Kansas City is that belief of, I can remember having a conversation with Brett Veach before the 2020 draft. It was like, oh, what are you guys going to do at 32? He was like, we're going to get Pat weapons. And they did. You know, you can disagree with the pick, but they attempted to give him as many weapons as possible. And then last year it was, we're going to protect Pat. And I think that's something that Poles will bring to the table of, you have a young quarterback capable of being a franchise guy. You have to surround him with weapons and you have to protect him. And, you know, the Jason Peters signing looked a lot better than the Eric Fisher signing. So I think Chicago got one up on Chris Ballard there. I still am a fan of James Daniels and Cody Whitehair, but it's rounding out the rest of that line and making sure that guys like Cole Kmet and David Montgomery can continue to develop and be put in situations where they can be the playmakers that we all thought they could be coming out of college. But I think, you know, the defense is going to need some attention as well, obviously. But, you know, this is a job about building an offense around Justin Fields. And you can look at what they've done in Cincinnati. You can look at what they've done with the L.A. Chargers, teams that that have loaded up around their young quarterback. I think Cincinnati's a great model for that, where, I mean, they've spent premium picks on offensive players the last 5 years, and they haven't missed on many of them. You know, they've largely gone defense in rounds three and beyond and spent some free agent money there, but they've really tried to draft their offense, and it's worked out exceptionally well for them.
Matt, we're like 3 years overdue for a couple Tank Sevens, buddy. Hope to cross paths with you soon. Thank you.
You bet, guys. Have a great day.
That's Matt Miller, NFL Draft Scout on Twitter, lead NFL Draft Analyst over at ESPN. He knows Ryan Poles. He's advocated for him to get a GM job for over a year now. That all sounds good. I told you, the people that we talked to today are almost assuredly going to give us ringing endorsements. That's kind of how this works. But that idea of what that Clyde Edwards-Helaire pick is what he's talking about when they had the 32nd overall pick. He's like, you can quibble with who they took, but the philosophy is we are supporting Pat Mahomes. We saw him get crushed in the Super Bowl last year against Tampa, so we're going out and we're getting Joe Tooney, and we're going to draft Creed Humphrey in the second round, who might a Pro Bowl candidate as a center. We're going to take Trey Smith in the second round or in the sixth round, who's an awesome offensive lineman. They took a swing on Kyle Long. Like, you know, they saw their problem, they addressed it, threw a ton of resources at it. When they had they already had Tyreek Hill, they went and got Mecole Hardman. More speed.
Who? He prefers a little bit more respect.
Sorry.
His name is not. You don't just call him Mecole.
That's Mr. Hardman. He likes Mr.
My bad, Mr. Hardman.
But does he spell it out? M-I-S-T-E-R,
nope.
I wonder if it's...
Nope, just M-R.
M-R. Okay. But, I mean, some of them have been good, some of them haven't been, but it was like, we'll take a swing on Josh Gordon. We'll take a swing on Byron Pringle. Like we are going to keep throwing speed and assets at supporting the quarterback. So there will be no... If he brings over that philosophy, that means this offseason you are going to see a reworking of the skill positions for Justin Fields and the Chicago Bears.
I have the profile of the offensive coordinator that one of these defensive head coach candidates might go for. I have some specific names of guys that are out there in the NFL who I know you know because you go deep on this stuff, but this is an important thing because if two of the candidates, Matt Eberflus and Dan Quinn, are defensive guys, your first question is going to be, well, what are you doing for Justin Fields? What are you doing on offense? I was talking to a couple people today. As we know, you and I both been digging around, and I have the profile of what kind of person is going to come in for that offensive coordinator job. I can share that with you with some specific names if you want them to.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's hear that. And by the way, add Jim Caldwell to that mix. Jim Caldwell's 67 years old.
So he's going to need an offensive coordinator, too, of consequence, is what
absolutely.
You're saying?
Absolutely. Yeah. Because if and when he leaves or retires, if it's working, you want there to be continuity of government, right? Like if Brian Daboll leaves, they're probably going to promote Ken Dorsey as offensive coordinator in Buffalo to keep the terminology and the system the same for him. So while it will be a bigger point of contention for a defensive head coach, like offensive philosophy is still paramount. It's the number one thing for any of these coaches. But Caldwell, I would include him in that list because he's 67. But we'll hear from that coming up. Joe Ostrowski, Hub Arkish still to come. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Harkins and Spiegel Show Flashback. Flashback.
Jay Glazer, we know you got to go. Congrats on the book, all the success in the world. Just really quickly, can you give us anything on the Bears, please? What are they going to do?
Look, I love it. I love that they interviewed Ryan Poles. I think Ryan Poles is beyond ready. I love that. Look, I know you guys bag on Ryan Pace, but he actually left some pretty good cap space. But the big thing is they got to hire a coach who looks at Justin Fields like, okay, I love this guy coming out of the draft. That's the biggest thing. If a coach looks and goes, I love this guy coming out of it, they need to go in the interview and go, I loved him. I had him here in the draft, and here's why, and this is what I could do with him, and I can build this culture, and I can build this guy. Don't hire a coach who's just going to look at it through a small lens and go, okay, we're just going to call plays at this guy. No, you got to develop him. So you want to find someone who loved him coming out of the draft.
Jay Glazer with us yesterday. We'll get Joe Ostrowski's thoughts in 15 minutes. Hub Arkish's thoughts at 4 o'clock. Hub has been adamant that you have to hire the GM before the coach, so I'm sure he is at least happy with the process of this. We have someone who played college football with Ryan Poles, Tyrone Pruitt, 4 years at Boston College, one of Ryan Poles' very good friends. He was texting with him today at 4:40. And Nate Taylor, who covers the Chiefs and wrote a big piece on the inner workings of that front office, will join us at 5:20. But, Spiegs, you have sourced reporting before this hire was announced that the GM would be hired before the coach. So you also said that this person gave you some insight into the process and what that might mean for offensive coordinator. What are you thinking or knowing?
So here's what I got. And maybe it seems intuitive, but there are young offensive minds who are offensive coordinators or assistants out there who aren't calling plays because the head coach is the play caller.
Sure.
So there are three people that fit that profile. And that's what I was told directly, was that one of these guys, if he gets hired, Quinn or Eberflus, is, I was talking to somebody who knows that person very, very well and said, the profile is that you go out there and you get an offensive coordinator who's not calling plays, or a quarterback coach who's not calling plays, and you give them the opportunity to come and be your offensive coordinator and call the plays. And so I start thinking, and I'm looking around the league for those kind of situations. And I got three names for you that fit those kind of situations.
Okay.
One is Mike Kafka, who is the offensive coordinator in Kansas City, but we all know that's Andy Reid. So would he jump? That's Andy Reid calling plays.
And Eric Bieniemy.
And Eric Bieniemy. So Kafka's the quarterback coach. So that's a jump. That's a nice big jump for somebody. Does Mike Kafka consider jumping to be an offensive coordinator? And get to call all the plays and be the number one offensive mind for a good young quarterback with a defensive-minded delegating head coach. Could be very appetizing for a guy like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Another is Kevin O'Connell. Kevin O'Connell is the offensive coordinator for the Rams under Sean McVay. And that's Sean McVay's team. That's Sean McVay's offense. So Kevin O'Connell's getting head coaching opportunities and head coaching interviews. I know. I think Denver was talking to him about the head coaching job, and he may get one. But if he doesn't get one, Would you leave the nest of Sean McVay to be the number one guy? Maybe that would just be for a year. So that kind of thing is scary when you're assigning somebody to Justin Fields. But that's another name to consider.
Yeah, he's – well, so McVay basically keeps getting people hired. He keeps getting people – like sure the best does. Way to become a head coach in the last 2 years has basically been to be on Sean McVay's coaching staff. And I'm almost positive – that O'Connell was the offensive coordinator in Washington before he was with the Rams. And so, I would be surprised if he would leave for a job that isn't head coach, because the best path of to becoming a head coach the last couple of years has been to be around Sean McVay.
And
so,
you're right. He was the offensive coordinator in Washington in 2019. And now the OC for the Rams in 2020 and 2021. So maybe his next stop is head coach.
That one would surprise me a great deal if he – I don't think – and I'm not even sure what they could offer him that wouldn't make that a lateral hire. So I don't think that one's possible. Kafka is definitely possible.
How about Marcus Brady, who's in Indianapolis as the offensive coordinator in his first year for Frank Reich – and was the quarterback coach the last 2 years for Frank Reich, meaning that he worked with Jacoby Brissett, he worked with Philip Rivers, now he's worked with Carson Wentz. So Marcus Brady is another guy who fits that profile. Offensive coordinator, but not the number one guy of the offense. But any of those people would see this as a step up, although I hear what you're saying, certainly about a guy like O'Connell.
Yeah, like, to me, if you can't get Brian Daboll, getting Ken Dorsey is very interesting to me.
Yes, Ken Dorsey is the quarterback coach in Buffalo, and Daboll, who will try to get a head coaching job, but he may not get a head coaching job.
Right, but if Brian Daboll gets the Giants job.
Sure.
Right, which he's been linked
to. With Joe Shane, yep.
Right, with Joe Shane, the assumption is that the Bills will just make Ken Dorsey the offensive coordinator. But if Brian Daboll stays in Buffalo.
Yep.
Maybe you can hire Ken Dorsey away and promote him to offensive coordinator because the path is no longer there for him here. And then another name would be Brian Callahan in Cincinnati under Zach Taylor. So, you know, that's another name, because like Kellen Moore, he's going to get a head coaching job.
Sure, and Kellen Moore is the number one offensive
mind
down
plays.
There.
Yep. Well, Mike McCarthy's an offensive guy, but yeah.
Kellen Moore's calling the plays.
Kellen Moore calls the plays. But, yeah, so like Brian Callahan in Cincinnati would fit that bill. No, that's a good way to think about it. The Caldwell piece would still be interesting to me because I could see it being a pretty appealing offensive coordinator job because – maybe Caldwell doesn't call plays. Like if he is going to be the CEO type coach and he's being brought in for leadership and stability, you'd be able to be the offensive coordinator, the play caller. You'd have Justin Fields, and you know that there's a real path to becoming the head coach of the Chicago Bears, right? Like Jim Caldwell's not going to be the coach of the Bears for the next 10 years. So you could have there could be a path there for just a pretty seamless takeover. So even if it is Jim Caldwell, to me the offensive coordinator hire there still matters a great deal because you want continuity.
Yeah, Mike Kafka being a Northwestern guy is interesting. Pep Hamilton, a texter brings up, is a guy who's getting a lot of credit for what happened with Davis Mills down in Houston this past year. We've lived the Pep Hamilton thing here as a quarterback coach for Jay Cutler at one point, and St. Rita, I believe, for Mike Kafka. So full on local roots all around for Kafka. But yeah, that being the profile, you know, rising young offensive guys who aren't calling plays right now because the head coach is the mastermind. That might be the grab. And then those are the kind of things that scare you. Like, let's say if it's Dan Quinn or it's Eberflus, and then it's this great young offensive coordinator, and then he leaves. You got to hope that the quarterback coach comes along with him and is steeped and ready to take over at that
right.
point.
So Buffalo's a good example for that, right? And it's not as scary for Bills fans because it feels like Josh Allen is made guy, you know? But it might fall apart. Like, Kyle Shanahan in Atlanta is the example that I've been using. Like, Matt Ryan won an MVP with Kyle Shanahan. he's been good without him. You know what I mean? He's a very good, consistent NFL starter. But he was an MVP with Kyle Shanahan, and they were in a Super Bowl. And then Kyle Shanahan left, and Matt Ryan went right back to being the 10th to 15th best quarterback in the NFL.
And that's with Dan Quinn as the head coach, and Dan Quinn's hires after that were problematic. Steve Sarkisian was the guy for a couple years, and then Dirk Cutter was brought in after his failed head coaching gig. So that's, you know, Dan Quinn will have to have learned from that, and you wonder what he's learned from that exact experience.
Yeah, so if you, so it is the hope would be what you're saying is that you hire the offensive coach and the coordinator, and if the or if you have the defensive coach and you've got the offensive coordinator, and then the offense clicks and it works and the offensive coordinator gets a head coaching job somewhere, that you can just that Justin Fields is a made man, that he is system proof, and that the quarterback coach or the passing game coordinator or whoever the top offensive person that stays is just slides into the chair and everything stays the same. That's what they're hoping is going to happen in Buffalo. That is what did not happen in Atlanta. But no matter who it is, Flores, Caldwell, Quinn, Eberflus, there isn't a young offensive coach that's on the list. Like, that's the thing that scares me.
Yeah.
There isn't Nathaniel Hackett. There isn't Brian Daboll. Like, there isn't a young offensive coach the candidate list right now. It's either defensive guys or 67-year-old Jim Caldwell. So offensive coordinator is going to be a massive hire no matter who the head coach is for the Bears.
I don't know how afraid I am of the defensive hire. You know, we've gone back and forth on that. Let's talk about it later on. I want to have that conversation with you a little bit later on.
Okay. Yeah, I
know,
more afraid of, I'm more afraid of it than you are.
Yeah.
Flores I'd sign on for with a plan, but we'll you know, It'll be the top question of any of these guys because 100%. Of Justin Fields.
But we just watched the human factor in Matt Nagy be a real, real problem. The leadership factor, I think, and you know, the personality makes a big difference in that.
It does. It does. We'll get more into it. Joe Ostrowski is going to join us coming up, then Hub Arkish at 4 o'clock. We are discussing Ryan Poles as the new general manager of the Chicago Bears. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Joseph, come on!
This guy is a machine. All he does is work out and pick winners.
Joe Ostrowski.
We couldn't live without Joe Ostrowski.
That being said, I hate Joe Ostrowski.
So, Ostrowski?
My friend of mine is very smart, said I've been very lucky with gambling. I've never won.
Joe Ostrowski with Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score.
On behalf of PointsBet, we are thrilled to welcome the host of BetQL Daily to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. What up, Joe-O?
Hey, fellas. How you doing this afternoon?
Oh, big day, man. We are learning about and introducing Chicago to Ryan Poles. What do you think of the hire?
Like you guys have said, We don't know. We don't know what to give him credit for. His resume is public on LinkedIn. You can go check it out, but I don't really know. And that's how we judge these general manager hires, right? That's what everybody does. Here's what I look at. He's coming from a smart, winning organization. Guys like Pioli, Dorsey, Veach, trust him, believe in him, kept promoting him. What I have in mind is a lot of times when we get to this point in the NFL season, we compare the Bears to the Final Four last week, the Final Eight standing. If you look at the GMs, is there something that we can really take away? No. Mike Brown, people have been laughing at him forever, the de facto GM with Cincinnati. He hit on the quarterback. He hit on wide receiver one. Brett Veach, well-respected. He was the in-house hire. John Lynch, 5 years ago, come on down from the broadcast booth. He might be going to his second Super Bowl on Sunday. Les Snead, a lot of football people just keep ripping on this guy. Oh, you just keep kicking the can down the road. You're going to have no draft picks. Mm-hmm. Well, he's in the Final Four again. He's in a position to get his team to the Super Bowl on Sunday. So there are many different ways to do this. We don't know. Here it is. Is Justin Fields going to hit? And then he's going to look very smart, even though he didn't bring him in. And is he going to hit on the head coach? I mean, that's the common thread here.
You've been following along as the head coaching markets first did not exist and then slowly became added from certain books. Where do things stand right now with this news? And we have three names that I don't want to say they're finalists because that's, I don't think, the right term, right? These are three coaches getting second interviews with now Ryan Poles helming it. Where do the odds stand as we are here right now for Bears head coach?
Well, Speaks, I can give you the odds from a day ago because all the sports books, all the offshore websites have pulled the odds down, unfortunately, with the news here.
Interesting.
My guess, based on the history with Poles and Flores, who opened as the heavy favorite at plus 130, almost even money, to be the Bears head coach a couple of weeks ago, and he's always been near the top, second or third favorite. I think once they reopen these numbers, that Flores will be your favorite. As of yesterday, multiple books had Jim Caldwell as a favorite, just ahead of Brian Daboll. And I'm sure you guys talked about it yesterday. What I find really interesting is some names that have been involved, not so much the Bears, but some of the top names with so many openings that have been mentioned, is it's a poor way to evaluate things. But I think there are a few names that are tough sells after the way their season ended. Leslie Frazier's defense, that's a tough sell. Todd Bowles blitzing Stafford when he's the best quarterback in the NFL against the blitz. Kellen Moore, the way his season ended on that final play call, that would be a tough sell.
I think that makes sense. I don't think you want to overreact to one game positively or negatively, but those would say, they'd be a lot tougher sells than Brian Daboll, right? What he put on film.
I'm in.
Brian Daboll would be a pretty easy sell. Based on what happened here, I want to just mention something. A texter put this in, and I've been just like reading and on my phone and doing the show, and I don't know if it's out there that like some Bears people are worried that they have to give up draft picks because they've seen that the Chiefs get draft picks for this. They are compensatory picks. So this was
In baseball when a free agent goes somewhere, you get it. They create a draft pick for you.
Correct. These will be end of the third round picks. It's part of the diversity initiative by the NFL. So it does not punish the Bears do not lose third round picks to the Chiefs for hiring a minority candidate. The Chiefs for cultivating and promoting a worthy minority candidate to get a job as a leader of an NFL team get rewarded with a third round draft pick. It's third round picks in subsequent years. So in the 2022 and 2023 draft, the Chiefs will get an extra third round pick because the Bears hired Ryan Poles, but it will not come at the expense of the Chicago Bears. I didn't know that was out there. Wanted to put that out. The Bears are not losing picks because of this hire. Do you have a favorite, Joe, for coach?
Daboll, I would be all in. Flores, I'd be very, very pleased. Some of the other names I have questions about, But, yeah, I would love to see Daboll here. I don't see how you possibly go wrong with a hire like that. I'm worried that he's going to go elsewhere with some of the connections that are available there with nine openings. I am just happy, though, that they went in this order and the conversation isn't the Bears are dragging their feet on a decision here. You would expect that they're going to make a swift move with the head coach. I wonder if it's just much of the league is waiting on one domino. Are they waiting on a Harbaugh? Are they waiting on a Sean Payton answer?
Sean Payton said today that he's done. But that he is not going to coach this upcoming season.
In 2022, and he's under contract through 2024. So if you want Payton, you're going to have to trade for him. You have to trade compensation. So I think that man is headed to TV, is my gut on that.
He'll be a star.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
He will be very good at it.
Unbelievable. So Joe Ostrowski, what were the gambling repercussions of the most epic NFL playoff weekend? Like, overall, what are your takeaways from 3 3-point games and the other was an overtime game, 4 games that ended on the final play?
First postseason ever that's happened. So while many were complaining about wild card weekend, the point spread suggested that we'd have the most competitive divisional round we ever had, and that's exactly how it played out with those 4 games. It's fascinating. Well, it sets up for Bengals-Chiefs, and the Chiefs are favored by 7. Interesting note here, Spiggs, is that total has been skyrocketing. It opened in some spots at 50.5, and now it's all the way up to 54. It wouldn't surprise me.
I see 54.5 right now.
Yeah, see, that's going to keep on climbing. That doesn't surprise me one bit. I was shocked that it opened so low because in Week 17, when these two teams played to a 34-31 game, it closed at 51.5. And then you saw Joe Burrow go against the same defense for 446 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. Chase with 3 touchdowns. And, of course, you have the Mahomes side. So definitely the over there. I'd bet that sooner rather than later. Hopefully you're not getting in too late. I understand why so much money has come in on the over there. And Niners-Rams. Now, this one has been bouncing around a little bit. Depends on which book you check. The Rams opened as 3.5-point favorites at most places. Then it came down to 3 yesterday. Now, over at PointsBet and some other spots, we're back up to 3.5. The total is 46. Last 3 years, San Francisco has swept the L.A. Rams, just like they did in the regular season. I mean, McVay is great against the spread. He's almost 60%. Against anybody but Shanahan. In his career, he's 3-7 straight up and 3-7 against the spread against Shanahan. What really stands out with the Rams, all the guys they brought in for this big moment, Stafford, Von Miller, OBJ, they've been balling out of late. But I do like San Francisco as long as it's more than a field goal.
I think the Chiefs should be a bigger favorite. I think that number should be 7.5. I know it's only a half point, but it's a key half point. I think that I bet them at 7. I've got conviction on 7. I'm sure I will be wrong, but I think that they deserve to be a bigger favorite than that.
It's obviously people believe that Burrow's going to be back, but that AFC, Mahomes, this is the 4th straight year that they're hosting the AFC Championship. Do we just plug him in as long as he's healthy every single year, the Chiefs? And we saw what Josh Allen is. We understand that. Lamar, when he's right. And there's Herbert. I mean, there's this assumption, Cincinnati, it's all house money. They just have to fix the offensive line over the next year or two, and Burrow's going to make multiple runs like this. Sports doesn't always work like that. This might be his chance.
Joe Ostrowski, BetQL Daily, on behalf of PointsBet. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, guys.
What does Hubarkish think about Ryan Poles? Who does he think will be a good fit for him as the coach? The sequencing of the hire, the fact that they got him before the Vikings could tomorrow. Lots to get into with Hub next on The Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.